This is the Sounding Board Podcast with Hutchie and Damo. Thanks to Drinkwise. If you're choosing to have a drink, choose to drink wise.
Good to have your company on the Sounding Board for Drinkwise. If you're choosing to drink, choose to drink wise. It's episode 13, series 9. It's an unusual record time, that being a Monday afternoon of this week. And I look across the way here, Craig Hutchison in person, fresh off what I read to be this morning in the paper. A day of socialising at Live Golf. Hello, Hutchie.
Hardly. Hello, Damo. Nice to see you. Is it Damo or am I looking at Nick Larkey? Do I need to do a cynicism test on you off the top here just to make sure that it's actually you? Because Nick Larkey, for those who haven't heard the impression.
Oh, I think everyone's heard it now, Hutchie.
From the Kangaroos, it was world class. He picked all your nuances.
He did. He did.
He did. And
all the flaws.
The only thing I love more than his impersonation of you, which I loved, was the disingenuous laughter and sniggering of you embracing it.
Oh.
As if.
No, you couldn't do anything but do that. I heard myself in that. That's how good it was. That's how accurate the whole thing was.
You heard yourself in it.
Oh, that's unfortunate for me because I did, yes. Now, I was out with my eldest son, just the two of us, which is very unusual in itself, and the phone just started blowing up. And I thought, what have I done now? What's happened? And it's quite a loud venue I was at, and I couldn't work out what's going on, but I could hear myself and I could see Nick Larkey's face doing it.
What did your son think of it?
Of hilarious. Yeah. And the younger one, that was Jensen. The younger one, Addison, just thinks it's the funniest thing he's ever seen. So, yeah.
Do we want to give 20 seconds?
No,
here's
we
20
don't
seconds
need to.
For those who haven't heard, but in the Northern Mariners.
Lotto, that's a great question. Lotto, I don't know if Sam Draper knew what he was doing. I just don't. And, you know, he lay on the ball in a way that was not acceptable. And the Essendon Footy Club have a lot to deal with. But I would love to get your thoughts, Lotto.
All right, no more.
Yeah,
I've copped it on every media outlet that I work on, Hutchie. I've copped it from every family member, every friend I think I know, every person who still sent it to me last night. Oh, have you seen this? Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah. You know, a lot about when that happens to you, everyone sends it to you like they're the first.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Hey, you might not have seen this. Oh, really? No, there's been 300 messages, mate. But thank you.
It was very good, though. It was very good.
Just getting you across this, mate. I don't know if you've seen it, but I've seen it. So have you spoken to Nick Larkey?
He actually sent me a text on Friday. I was about to jump on a plane to go to Adelaide for the, was it Port Adelaide St Kilda game? And he sent a text to me. He must be such a good bloke. I've only met him two or three times, but I think he's such a good bloke that he wanted to reach out and say he meant A, no disrespect by it, which I don't know. I think he needed to do that.
He just sent you a square up text.
And he also said that he wanted to, and I don't think I'm talking out of school here, but it wasn't off the record, I think, that he wanted to initially seek my permission to take me off, as though he needed to do that.
And
I said to him, mate, there's no need for either of these, as in it's all good.
Yep.
And he said, I'll surprised why it took off so much. And I said, it took off because you nailed it. And I work with a bunch of idiots who like to highlight everything.
So. And I'm pretty sure you're not talking out of school because he just wrote me a note saying, ask me about Nick Larkey, which is why we had that little clunky bit of the conversation. Next time, I'm not really a note guy. What you see is what you get with me. Just say I spoke to Nick Larkey. You don't need me to set up.
I haven't done what you said I did, Hutchie.
You don't need me to set it up.
He did send me a text to ask. And what, this might be better at school. I said, I work with a bunch of idiots on the Sunday Footy Show who I'm sure will enjoy it, and they did, and he said he will do one of them as well. But I might include you in the next time I speak to Nick.
He'd be a great filling on the sounding board at some stage, wouldn't he?
Actually, I might get him to do you. That's what I might get him to do after all that.
Where would you like to start today, Damo? There's a lot to deal with.
I didn't get your answer to your socialising at Live Golf, though, so let's
sign
off on that, please.
With the broadcast rights for 3 days, so I went in and out. I went in and out for the day on Saturday. And,
is it as good as everyone tells
me
it is? Yeah.
It's a world-class.
I don't care for
products.
Golf too much, apart from the US Masters, basically. That's all I care for.
You don't need to. The music, the non-golf fans, even those among my crew who were non-golf fans but partners of ours, loved it. It's music, it's entertainment, it's a vibe. The beat's going the whole time. The music's quite confronting if you haven't been around that sort of noise before. It's going from 10 o'clock in the morning.
Right. Those nightclubs in the new US used to take me to for the US Sports Sundays, which... nightclubs, lampooning as a sports bus.
Just to put my Drinkwise hat on for a minute, it does overdo that a little bit in some sections of the crowd. So there is some work to be done, I think, on the 12th tee in particular and some other areas on just being a bit more socially aware, I would say. If you're choosing to drink, choose to drink wise. But 95% of it is really fun, engaging. It's a new audience. It's music. It's drama. There's... Yeah, it's unreal. I reckon they hit the music note as good as any sport event. And the drama, I reckon they found a new product too, like that teams event, which has largely been an aside so far in live golf around the world.
So does that work?
Well, it worked in the playoff. Like they hit pay dirt in the playoff.
Was that because Cam Smith was in the chase party?
The Australians in there and he embraced it in the way. And then they paid Fisher, the DJ, I would think the best part of $1 million to play. Closer to $1,500,000, put it that way.
Now, I've heard of Fisher. Which country of origin is Fisher?
I'm not going to get into a DJ off of the year. On
well, I've heard of him, but who is he? Or is it a band? I've heard of it.
It's a guy that likes fishing on the weekends.
You see, you don't even know, do
but
you?
But the DJ set after yesterday's, well, I wasn't there, but the pictures looked amazing in most days. So they've really, there was 30,000, I think their most, 94,000 for 3 days, 50% up on last year, and it's phenomenal. And the broadcast numbers were good. You see the broadcast numbers? Everyone says television's dead, and there's an argument that that is supported by the decline of TV audiences. But I read that TV audiences were best part of $1 million on the weekend, and a younger consumer who don't normally consume television.
On Channel 7?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think they've hit, and it just shows you the gap left in the Australian market in golf.
Yep. Now, Hutchie, we have embraced the phrase on the sounding board. I think we may have embraced it way back in Series 1, which is now 9 years ago, 10 years ago. It's break the silence or break his or her silence.
Yep.
I want you, this is me talking to you as the co-host of this show in its ninth season, to break your silence.
You're going to an old topic here that's
on Dylan Howard.
It's going to bore everybody.
No, it's time, Hutchie, because he's now, as we forecast on this show last week, he was a highlight act of the Donald Trump case that's playing out in America right now over his involvement in the catching and killing of stories that were negative to Donald Trump in the lead up to the 2016 US election.
You've been following it, you've been reading it, how have you assessed it?
Well, I feel like we've known it was going to be produced in court. I did read every article that was published about it. Did we learn anything further to what you and I think have known over the journey?
I didn't.
Yeah, you didn't, no.
I've been privy to a bit of it, but it's...
legally privy. So,
yeah. Which way is this going to unfold for the president, do you think?
How could I forecast this?
So I've got nothing to add on the question you've asked.
So you're not breaking your silence?
It's a redundant
Hang on. You're refusing to break your silence?
Yeah, that's fair. I did see that Donald Trump has embraced a meeting or vice versa with Ron DeSantis. So Ron and Don met yesterday for several hours after golf for breakfast. They're going to collaborate, it looks like. I don't know if this means VP or not. But if he got the VP nod, which feels unlikely, but if
but you thought he was going to be the nomination, didn't you?
I overplayed him. But yeah. What he does have is a lot of wealthy donors, and Donald Trump looks a bit cash short, in case you haven't been following the news, versus Biden. So, yeah, he will be involved, it looks like. And that would set him up for a run at it in 2028. And that would be an interesting world in the Ron DeSantis leadership, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So you got nothing else to add?
Zero to add.
The double page spreads of the high life of Dylan Howard.
Yeah, I saw some of those scrapes of his Instagram account and those things. But yeah, no, it's...
Just to remind our listeners, Hutchie has received a legal letter from Dylan Howard's legal team to not ever, ever, not just not talk about him, but to not even mention his name. So he's taking a risk to even engage in conversation. I've seen the letter, Hutchie.
Hey, when did you become a clickbaiter, by the way? How have you become a clickbait generator?
Well... as some people point out, yourself included, I've stopped breaking news.
Is your Verity score on the rise? You've been published more as a subject of a news story than you have creating one.
That's
month.
That used to be an issue, didn't it?
I think you're in decline in one area, and you're on the Verity scores.
Well,
on the
I think you highlighted to some people some time ago that maybe I've stopped. I've dried up on the news.
Yep.
Yeah.
Even your attempted humour with Matthew Lloyd yesterday, which was a humour slash bit of retrospective fable correcting. Has ended up clickbaiting the news.com.
I thought he took it well, Lordy, when he got exposed.
Yeah. Did you catch any Kyle and Jackie O this morning?
No, I didn't. But what I did do was click onto an article in the Herald Sun website about it, Hutchie.
Yep.
And I'm quite surprised that they've decided to sort of embrace the content of what was on their program on day one. I'm just finding some certain... Now, I don't actually want to have my voice...
Some of the things said in the show had too much vulgarity by our standards to read.
I don't...
But it does have a different level of... seemingly have a different level of social acceptance of the vulgarity.
Well, it's almost celebrated by the way it was promoted in the Herald Sun. Cole Sandilands and Jackie O Henderson launch on Melbourne Airwaves, and they introduced their staff. And again, I don't want my voice on some of the content of what they were saying on air today. I don't care for their show for what it's worth, and I'm sure they don't care for my opinion on that show either. But what I am surprised at is the Herald Sun thinks it's okay to report what they said with no reaction at all and no negativity to the reaction at all. Because I know that if you were to say even 1% of what was said this morning on that show, Hutchie, it would become an outrage story.
You're saying rules for some?
Absolutely, I am. Yeah. Are you going to disagree with me?
Well, look, there was... Yeah, look, I didn't hear any of it in context, didn't hear the show, but...
There's no context when it's in print, and I don't want context in print.
But most of those... Look, put it this way. It's language and crudity that our town has not heard or accepted before, isn't it?
Well, I'd say rightly so in so many instances, but... And that paper has been the one that wants to shine the moral torch on the rest of the society, apart from their own building, when it comes to these issues. And now, for some reason, they've embraced and Jackie O.
I don't know they've embraced it. It was written matter-of-factly. The lead story was...
When have they ever written anything matter-of-factly?
Melbourne has finally woken up with the Kyle and Jackie O show after powerful duo made their much-anticipated debut. So it was very straight in the way it was reported. They were true to controversial form in the second paragraph, but there was vowing to be entertaining and not be boring.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's talking about, again, I don't even want to paraphrase what they're talking about.
If the ABC or Ross and Russ did that, many society groups would be quite an outrage?
Well, they love Ross, and everyone loves Ross, so take him out. So if it was James Brayshaw on the Rush Hour, there you go, or Gary Lyon on the breakfast show here, I know how they would have treated it.
Yeah, but so my question to you is, do you think that because that's their shtick, been that way for 10 years.
Oh, so it's acceptable, is it?
I'm asking you, are you excused?
No.
Or allowed to, if you are a shock jock in nature in that tone of community conversation?
No, you can carry on the way you choose to carry on, but certain organisations that want to make that an issue when it suits them on certain causes to make it an issue don't have the right to pick and choose.
Yeah, I don't think it's isolated to the one outlet you've talked about. Like it was covered pretty much the same everywhere, wasn't it? Are we desensitized to the nature of the content, or
it should we be?
Well, just it's a really interesting line in I don't know the answer in public.
You
commentary.
And I are scared to talk when we're in a studio. You and I are scared to talk in the corridors these days. In the way that we may have once upon a time. And you know what? That's not necessarily a bad thing either.
I think ultimately Melburnians will be the judge, right? And there'll be some people that love it and some people find it really
I'm sure there'll be a lot of people that love it.
But it does sound like it's going to be covered.
Favourably.
Well.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Another piece that we've come across this week, Hutchie, you had a couple of people send us links to this article in the Australian.
Why do you think it would be covered favourably, Damo?
Well, what I will say about that, Hutchie, and I haven't given this a lot of thought, but what I will say about most things in life, and certainly business, is follow the money.
Yep.
So would I be right in suggesting that there may be an advertising deal?
I haven't seen any, but that wouldn't surprise you.
You know what I'm going to do? You've asked that question. I've answered it on the run without thinking about it. I'm going to look hard for an advertising
deal.
Yeah,
you do
deal that. What's the station they're on?
ARN. Yeah, KISS. Yeah.
KISS, okay. I'm going to look for news limited deals with KISS and vice versa.
You've got a very cynical mind, haven't you? Well, if they were, I mean, they're going to do a big ad spend in Melbourne, and News would be a place you would do it if you're trying to connect because they've got a big platform. Right. They are also a shareholder, aren't they, of ARN, I think.
Yeah. Oh, see, I didn't even know this. Is that right?
I think so. I haven't looked at the register.
Oh, hang on. You wouldn't raise this unless that was the case. So
I spend my day on our business, not others.
I'm going to do some homework. We may have latched onto something here. I'm going to be honest. Hey, another one. It does involve the same organisation, Hutchie. Australian Financial Review wrote an article under one of the headlines being Foxtel faces its streaming apocalypse. I did read it. It was published, as far as I know, Thursday or Friday. I read it on Friday. I thought it was a pretty well-balanced article. It wasn't saying it's end of world for Foxtel, but it did highlight a lot of financial issues that pertain to the streaming space.
Can you summarise some of it for us, for those of us who haven't read it?
Question marks over, question marks over the traditional subscription to Foxtel, which, and I'm still one of the Mohicans, Hutchie, when it comes to, I choose to have the old box, and I've got that old box. I love that old fashioned box because I can get the 4K and whatnot, and I can flick around it. But obviously streaming is is the next phase of it, it hasn't quite picked up the way they would have wanted it to. The KO uptake was really, really good for a period of time, but it seems to have hit a ceiling. Is that fair to say?
I don't think the cricket worked quite as well as they would have liked. I think footy was off to a decent start, what I hear anecdotally. But the cost base is the challenge. I'm just going, pulling apart the stories in real time as we read. So from 2025, the financial review reports that Foxtel will pay on average an extra $111 million a year more for the AFL than it paid the last 5 years. So it goes from an average of 307 to 418.
And the Finn, per year.
And the Finn Review says this is not money that's lying around. And in a note to clients, Morningstar analyst, who's one of the market guys, said it was total paid subscribers fell 1% year on year in the second quarter to 4.3. Yeah. A lot of people, 4% increase in streaming.
I cross-referenced that part of the article, Hutchie, with someone who does work in the space at a very, very high level. That person said there is no more growth in that space, in the KO space. They've basically exhausted the amount of KO and how much money they can get out of the current rates of subscription. Is that, would that be in keeping with what you think?
I think they've done a great job with KO to get to 1.5 million subscribers.
But there's no more coming.
Well, I don't know. It's 22 million Australians who love their sports. So I wouldn't think it's... I think there's still plenty of people to fish at, put it that way. But it is a big cost base.
Yeah.
They've done an amazing job with that business given the cost base.
So those numbers you mentioned there, 400 or thereabouts, or 300 million this year, was it, for the AFL? And then up to...
Both Fox and Seven have significant challenges in their cost bases into the future because of the footy. They're paying through the nose for the footy, both businesses. I'm not disputing that, but it's expensive. The analysts say it was a 4% increase in streaming, offset by an 8% decline in set-top box subscribers.
So okay.
Streaming is a pretty crowded market already, isn't it?
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
how many streaming products do you have now?
I asked for our family, there's only four of us in it, to do an inventory on, it was ridiculous.
An audit?
Yeah, only because I haven't used some of them for myself for ages. And I can't imagine how many.
Yep.
So we scaled it back, but I think it's up to seven or eight in totality.
So what are you spending, you think, in total?
What is it? It's up to $25 or something now, isn't it?
Give us your best guess. What I want you to do next week, and I'll do the same, is bring in your streaming bill.
Okay, is that going to include my spend on the Foxtel box?
Because
that would still be the biggest spend.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Everything.
You do the same?
Yeah, I'll do the same.
All right, homework.
Because in a cost of living world, it is a consideration.
Has to be, yeah.
Now, I think KO is a must. I would never live without KO.
Yeah, but I've got that through the box, so to speak. I can watch it. I can still stream.
I've got Fox and KO.
Yeah.
I think a lot of sports fans would.
Yep.
But then
I know that there's Netflix, there's Stan, there's Disney, there's
Apple.
Yeah.
Yeah, Paramount looks like it's on the way out. Yep.
Does it?
Yeah. Well, they're in merger talks in the States, and what they do with 10 will be interesting, but that product looks like it'll morph into something else. So it's a challenging time.
One more on the Foxtel issue. You probably once an episode refer to my scepticism and probably more so cynicism, and I can see those two qualities, Hutchie. I actually proudly have them. But I do have both of those qualities attached to what happens in the next 7 years of the AFL deal with Foxtel. I raise this as a consumer. They are clearly still refusing to send a team to cover one of the games they've got at the moment. And if you then factor in next year when they have got rights to broadcast with their own commentary team all nine matches of every single weekend, given they won't do it this year, given they're not sending teams this year to the venue, apart from the Melbourne-based venues, I've got a question mark. They're actually going to send teams and to even potentially even cover all the nine games that they've got. But they certainly, if they cover all nine games, which they've got the right to do with their own commentary team, they won't be.
Well, they paid for that, right, haven't they? So it would make sense that they followed through with that if they paid for it.
But I think that's why they've paid more money for it as of next year for the next seven.
It is a little weird that in the high cost world that you have two production crews at venues. Anything seven, like there would need, you would think there'd be some.
Well, it's happened in cricket, hasn't it?
Yeah,
yeah.
Cricket feels to me like the first one to fix.
Yeah.
No point having two sets of vision there, is there?
Well, there's not two sets of vision on the cricket, is there? It's just
there is. Yeah.
Is there?
Yep, two sets of production crews. When you got a higher cost model.
I thought they scaled that back after the year one of that.
Maybe we're getting rears, we don't know, don't we?
And we've probably spoken too long in this particular conversation.
Yep.
Yeah. Where are we going to go next, Hutchie? Andrew Jones, officially out at Racing Victoria.
Well, you were forecasting this for some time. Hmm. You've been the cynic on racing. So what's your view on this?
Well, we know that Gillon McLaughlin's coming in.
He's nominated for the board.
Which... Yeah, as the head of the whole thing to take over. Is it Mike Hurst?
Well, the chair's a vacant role, so he'll be the chair.
Yeah, but Andrew Jones, who's the CEO, has decided to, let's use that term, jump before pushed. Is that fair to say?
I read the release like everybody. Taken out on the Friday. It was a little bit of taking out the trash between Anzac Day and Saturday, wasn't it?
Yeah. Look, it was a weird appointment to begin with, wasn't it, given he didn't have a racing background, certainly in this state?
I don't know if it was a weird appointment because he's had a lot of interesting ideas to bring to the sport potentially, but it's a
he's got to bring team racing to sport, which was a good idea, wasn't it?
It's a fragmented sport in a stakeholder sense, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everyone sees it differently and there are people up in arms and it needs someone to get them going whichever way you go.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how good your ideas are if everyone's going in different directions,
is it? It's fair to say it went backwards though, didn't it? Compared with New South Wales racing in that time he was in charge, and it was already starting from a long way back to begin with.
You know, I think you're very hard on racing. It's got such upside.
It does, but not with certain people in charge of it.
But it's down, it's declining year on year racing because of the market conditions. So, it's not Andrew's fault, but yeah. What's clear is that he wasn't in perfect lockstep with the industry, was he, in terms of...
Yeah.
Yep.
That seemed clear. Well, so who's going to get it?
I don't know. Who would you appoint?
I don't claim to know the space. What I do know is the linking publicly of Simon Lefleyn, former AFL executive, then former St Kilda Football Club chief executive. But depending on who you speak to, there's varying reports on that being the case.
Do you think it could be someone ex-footy CEO that Gill's worked with before, or do you think it'll be someone from outside the industry?
Well, it would be easier for me personally to not refer to the Gill specifics here, but a lot of people who go into those jobs bring someone, in fact, multiple people in with them.
Well, he's not going to go in and inherit his own CEO, is he? He wouldn't do that if it were you.
I can't imagine Gill doing that.
No,
that's not that wouldn't be the Gill I'd know. No, he'd be bringing someone in.
He's not going to be a first-time chair and then not know the CEO's name.
No,
he won't have to build a relationship. I wouldn't have thought.
But he does have a relationship with Simon Lefleyn, but I don't know. I don't think it's a guarantee.
My best guess was that it would be that he would look for someone who can try and unite the different factions and someone who can. I don't think it'll be necessarily another version.
Like a Brian Cook type, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be another version of Gill, but my best guess it would be if you were him that you'd bring in
Brian Cook himself,
someone that can unite people a little bit. Yeah,
someone like Brian Cook, or maybe Brian Cook. I think Brian's pretty happy at Carlton at the moment, isn't he? But
you're on the riser at the Blues. Why would you leave there at the moment?
Hmm. You'd see it at least this year.
Why would you leave there? You wouldn't do it.
Yeah. Hey, a couple of things that we've been talking about in recent weeks. The X / Twitter / Meta situation and the failure now to pay the advertising or the access to media in this country, and the turn of events this week where there is now a dispute and a censoring, is that the right word, do you think, Hutchie, in this case, of certain issues and photos and stories on social media on the back of what happened in the Bondi stabbing and the government's reaction to all of that and the censoring that is in play here. I mean, we recall it was mainstream media that ran some pretty graphic imagery around that issue within minutes of it going down, and now that same mainstream media is still waging the war against Meta.
This strikes at the heart of censorship between journalists. Journalists believe in free speech until they don't, right?
Yeah.
Until it's uncomfortable. So tell me about the Elbow versus Elon feud. Have you been following it? What's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, enough to know that there has been I think did Elon himself somehow buy into it publicly, I think, during the course of the week, and was talking about how much of a backwater this country is, and... Have I got that right?
Yeah, and he's swimming against the social stream a little bit on free speech and even the government themselves have still got Twitter handles and X handles, haven't they? So for those who denounce X, and it has changed significantly in new owners, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's not going anywhere, given what he paid for it, and it's not going to change its tone. So you've got a decision to make as a government and as an industry whether you embrace it or you ignore it. But the people that vent on it.
Leave me out of them. Now, get off it if you don't want it.
Now, censorship is a really interesting discussion on these platforms, because there's positives and negatives to all of it, isn't there? Because it is ultimately it's subjective censorship.
Depends which political innings you've got, which, and what you want to censor, doesn't it?
I think Albo thought he's an easy target. He's a billionaire American who can take on.
Yeah,
I don't think that serves any purpose.
Mm.
Do you?
No, I don't. And then you've also got another issue that Albanese's in at the moment now. There was the walks, the rallies on the weekend just gone across the country, the men's violence rallies and his attendance at one. And the I don't want to get too bogged down in what has happened since, but the scuffle or the fracas that he's had publicly with one of the organisers who said that he wasn't wanting to speak at it, and then he did speak at it, and then that she's now claiming he's lied about grabbing the microphone.
So for those who haven't seen it, simplified for us, they invited him to speak?
Depends who you believe, Hutchie. Yeah. And honestly, it depends who you believe.
He's saying they did or didn't invite him to speak.
He's saying that he was invited to speak, and they're saying, and I'm paraphrasing, but I think I've caught up with today, that he was never it was never said he can't speak, but he had basically said that the minister, is it Gallagher, Geordie, as I'm talking, maybe he's doing a quick Google for me, but the minister was going to be the person who spoke if there was to be a government spokesperson. Right. And then he was getting heckled, and then he took the microphone. And then the subsequent outcome of it is one of the organisers has said he's a liar, a complete liar, and use that word. And again, the truth will be somewhere in the middle. But there's now been a national meeting of
cabinet. Yep.
Yeah.
You think that's so? What's your take on that?
Oh, my take on that is I'm not an expert in this space, Hutchie, but we'll talk about this. I just hope that there's some outcome of that meeting. I don't know what. It's got no power. Yeah. We learned that during COVID, ultimately. The states will do what they need to do in their own minds.
Well, I think it's an extraordinarily important topic.
Oh, we know that.
I think, well done to him for turning up on the weekend. Now, the circumstances of which and how sound a little bit...
Was it optics, though? And this is what I want to get to on this topic. Is it optics? Because we can talk and we can be seen at a rally, but do we actually do anything in the political landscape in this country?
I think they will and they should. And that's a good thing. Now, was it a little bit clumsy how he turned up and how he spoke and all those things?
Well, it looked that way, yes. The bits I've seen, yeah.
Should we have a bit more empathy for our politicians? I think so. Like, we're quick to say...
Why? They're the people who choose to go down this path. No one's asking them, hey, Albo, can you please be our Prime Minister? We're subjected to the vote. We have to vote. We go one way or the other. And the other bloke was no good either, so I'm not talking about this politically. But what's he done? There's been a lot of optics.
What he says is one thing, but what he does will be another. And it's important that his actions now support the intent.
Yes.
To start to try and address this atrocity and help fix it.
But again, what power does he actually have as Prime Minister, apart from talking?
Well,
because it's a state, it's different in every state, Hutchie, and that's the problem.
Yep, it is. But at least the intent of getting people together on Wednesday at a serious cabinet level to try.
Well, I hope it's not just an optics thing, which often it is with politicians.
I don't think it is.
Okay, what about the other former bloke, Morrison, who's now got a book to sell?
Are you going
to
buy the book?
Oh, please!
You buy the book?
What I did do, I forced myself, because I had access to the Australian newspaper on the return flight from Adelaide on Saturday morning. I forced myself to read. And I wish it was a famous journalist. I can't think of who it was now, but it was a really good piece. But Hutchie, reading that man's words, I cringe. Morrison, seriously.
The excerpts are very heavy on the religious
reference. Oh, yeah. Again, even that didn't annoy me. It was just more his recreation of history, his refusal to address anything that maybe remotely resembled be just factually wrong. He's recreating of what he did. And then he posted something last night, which, again, I forced myself to click on because he's off his own account, which someone had retweeted or re-exed, whatever it is called these days. And he was talking about the problems he'd had in office, but then I still got up and I got the AUKUS deal, as though that's the greatest thing that we've ever had in this country. That AUKUS deal, as I've said, that's going to be a bomb in itself, Hutchie. So, honestly, what are we dealing with?
Most people in our circles or who we know sort of mock or denounce him, right? I think history will reflect on him slightly more favourably than the current mockery.
Okay, give me the three things that's going to be favourable.
Well, I can, Damon.
Give me
this
three.
This is my year of trying to have a little bit more compassion or empathy, because I've been a bit low on it for 49 years, to be fair. I accept that. I'm trying. In the pandemic, everything is easy in hindsight. Everything is easy. when you are told that you are facing 50,000 fatalities, as he wrote about in the book, in quick time, and you're seeing these pictures around the world, cast your mind back to seeing the hospital beds in Central Park and pictures around the world, and you've got to get people out of Wuhan, and when you've got Australians there, because terribly, 34,000 people died in World War II. So you're looking at a human atrocity for our nation that is forecast at that time to be 50% worse than our World War, and it's spreading like wildfire. Like, yeah, he made some mistakes, made a heap of them, and some of them were like...
Are you going to give him a tick for assuming the five ministries that he never told anyone about exposed by journos 6 months later?
But until you've walked in those shoes and understood the pressure that you're dealing with in real time, how do you know what mistakes you would have made or we would have made? Like, I just don't think it was a 1 out of 10 prime ministership. I know it wasn't a 9 or 8 or 7 or 6, but I just have some empathy that he was dealt he was dealt a really tough. And I'm the same with all of them, by the way. I think, we haven't produced a brilliant prime minister for a long time. You know, we've produced, but you got to overlay our shocking cynicism as a nation, of which you, Damo, are a part of it.
Well, I didn't hear you supporting Morrison when he was in charge, and now you are.
No, I didn't. I didn't think he was the right person for the job, but I do.
I've never seen a greater narcissist than him.
Yeah, there's a bit of that. But you need a bit of that to be any good at it, don't you? So, like,
probably.
He dropped the ball. Yeah, I think Turnbull was a better prime minister than you give him credit for too.
Oh,
I think the
oh please.
I think the best of Kevin Rudd wasn't too bad either in the first go.
First go before he got rolled and then he came back again.
It's bloody hard.
Well, how do you rate Gillard?
I think history looks. Even history is aging on her better than the other four.
Is it? What did she do?
Well, I think she broke the ceiling. She stood up to misogyny.
I don't think she did absolutely everything, Hutchie, that she should have done. Yep. I recall her refraining from voting on something that was pretty important to a lot of people. Do you remember that one?
Everyone's just always
outraged. Do you remember that one? That social issue that she just didn't vote on. Do you remember that one? Yeah.
Everyone is outraged all the time about our leaders, but it's a hard gig.
Yeah. But they choose to do it.
They choose to do it. I get it.
Let's swing from that, because we've got no idea about that, to something that we once were part of, and that is the post-match AFL coach conference.
Did Robbo forecast the demise of this in his column today in the Tackle?
I wouldn't know, Hutchie.
He said there was three people there for Ross Lyons.
I wouldn't know if he did, Hutchie, but it's not as if it's... I wouldn't have thought it's a new idea.
Don't pretend you don't read the Tackle.
I do not read the Tackle, Hutchie.
You not only read it, you read it on a Sunday night.
Oh, please. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can't go to sleep without it. Oh, yeah. Oh, give me a spell.
I do. I read it on Sunday night.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. But what is going on with it? The broadcast is held up by, particularly free-to-air, and again, it was once a staple. It was once a staple. But it's the broadcaster has to send someone to it. Since Mark Stevens and Mitch Cleary initially, they don't do it.
Yep.
Don't you think?
Well, they're often not at the game, right? Broadcaster. That's the abnormality.
They're neither, are they? No.
They might have a boundary writer at best at some of these games who's often not a journalist in their own right. But it is, as I've said to you many times, there is no reason to go as a journalist.
But the broadcaster of TV needs them to go.
The broadcaster needs to rent the print room to create its product.
Yeah.
And the print room is going, what's the point of going?
You know, there was, and this is why this is not a new story, Hutchie, but 3 years ago, I believe it was, before COVID even, there was one journo at a Chris Fagan press conference.
Yep.
One, at post-match.
I went to quite a few NBL over the summer where there was no journos at all, and there was just a Zoom reporter or two or three down the line, and that works fine. You know how lazy print journalists are, Damon. Let's be honest.
But
you're one of them.
They don't need to go down for the TV. They need to go down for their own purposes. Absolutely they do.
Yeah, but I would let more and more in from their desks at work or at home.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, but there's not many doing it, Hutchie, as you know.
It is a very good way to build your profile. They'll let the Zoom call
if you wanted to. Yeah. Now, did you get any feedback to your takedown of Mitch Cleary last week on the Greyhound Racing Victoria payback?
Very favourable.
I saw someone who works at Greyhound Racing Victoria. They had the dogs come into the handball section of the Sunday Footy Show.
I saw that.
Yeah.
It was PR payoff on the
it was
Sunday
PR payoff for the Sunday Footy Show.
who did they bring in?
No, I think TJ organised that one. But Damien Ratcliffe came in.
Yep.
And the CEO of Greyhound Racing.
The chair, Peter Duncan.
Peter Duncan. Peter Duncan, it was Peter Duncan. Yep. Yes, she came in as well.
Yep.
And I've since been told, Archie, Mitch Maylin not just making the questions on the run, but maybe also using Talking Footy last week to continue.
Oh, was there more PR association? Talking Footy?
Yeah.
Was there really?
Nathan Murphy, we move to. Yeah, he's 2 months ago this week. He stepped away from training. I spoke to him as part of Greyhound Adoption Month. This is what he had to say, Nathan Murphy.
Oh, no.
Come on, Mitch. You've taught him well, Hutchie.
Yep.
You've taught him very, very well.
Did you see the Paul Kent video?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Thoughts?
Bad. Bad. And they have stood him down.
Yep.
As in News Limited and Foxtel. And
if you were his editor, have you been an editor before, by the way?
Not an editor, no.
Of a paper?
No.
How would you handle that?
Oh, you would have no choice but to, wouldn't you? Given how bad it looked.
Yep.
Would you agree with that?
Do you think journalists should be held to a higher public account of?
Well, yes, I do. Yep. And they have to be, don't they?
Yep.
Yeah. Particularly the perception of a journalist out there in the public anyway. And history in that space where, as Peter Ford highlighted this morning, Paul Kent himself some years ago wrote that a certain person who'd been on charges and allegations of a very serious nature should be hit if seen in the street, and he was that person.
Oh, dear. Yep. Mm. What about I saw the other story that was clickbaiting was the reaction to Triple M Breakfast. You've been big on this for a while. Do you think that comments to the editor or comments in a print story or comments on Twitter
yep.
should or could be used as the basis of a story? Or do you think you need someone of expertise?
You know my views on this. And you know that I know that a lot of people use burner accounts to get these stories to light. And I'm glad you raised this because I did flag this one. This was a story written in our friends at the Herald Sun about Marty Shegold. And this is the opening line. Some listeners took to social media this week to weigh in. And then they quote someone, and then the quote, and it's attributed, a listener wrote online. And then another one wrote online, and then they had even got a third one and a fourth one, Hutchie.
Yep.
Four people who may or may not have had links to. Anyway, it's not a story.
I think you need, like, if you're quoting one person of industry relevance in a story and they're supporting it with, and the readers agree, well, that's okay.
Of industry relevance? Yeah.
I think you need at least one talking head.
But what they're now doing is they're not even saying said so-and-so on X, because half the time so-and-so on X has got a handle that is unusable in a print sense. It'd be a rude word in the handle, or it'd be a misogynistic connotation. So they can't do it. Now it's just a listener wrote, and then another listener wrote, and then said another user. I agree with you. He's become worse since the meltdown. What does that all mean?
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
It's made up half the time.
Just putting my airline hat on before we finish.
Craig's carry on.
Congratulations to Melbourne Airport, which has been voted the best, world's best. And it is the world's best, by the way.
Melbourne Airport's
magnificent.
Oh, please.
And on Thursday, they announced the Qantas domestic terminal would finally have new security scanners installed, allowing passengers to pass through without having to remove laptops, tablets, or aerosols from their luggage. A temporary screening point is set to open in August, so they've gone early. This is an innovative airport, and the works are due to be completed by December 2025. So there you go. So that's good news, Damo, for those of us who are crusading on standardisation of X-ray security.
I have said to you, I think maybe 2 weeks ago, I've done more flying this year than I've done recently. I can't complain about it. Planes are leaving on time. Staff is good and friendly. Airports are looking quite clean.
Yep.
There's space. Food's okay. What's happened? We've lifted our game.
There is. Yep.
Yeah.
I was in Adelaide on the weekend, and again, X-ray security, very different.
I had to take the laptop out at Melbourne, I think it was, and it was Qantas. So that new rule kicks in on, it Thursday?
August, the temporary scanners, magnificent.
Okay. Before we go, do you want to do the Mark Duffield versus David King on Twitter? Or?
I watched it last night. I did check in with our platforms this morning whether David had gone on Duff's show in Perth.
Yeah.
Because they're on here at the same time, but apparently he didn't go on. So
was he asked to go on?
Yeah, I think he was.
Ooh,
yeah.
Ooh.
So unlike King, not to step up and take the questions.
You can go back to X for our listeners to want to know what we're talking about here. There was just a nice little, it sort of looked like it could take off, but didn't quite.
Have you ever got yourself into a Twitter war where you've gone to sleep and only half remembered it or forgotten about it, and woken up to it, the reaction to it?
Maybe some text, but not
Twitter. Felt a little bit like that one, didn't it? Yeah. Like, I go to bed not realising it's on for Young and Old, wake up and, oh, it's got a bit sharp.
Got a bit big on me.
Yep.
That was the sounding board for DrinkWise. If you're choosing to drink, choose to DrinkWise.
Thanks for listening to the Sounding Board podcast with Hutchie and Damo. Tune in for questions tomorrow, and to send a question to the boys, email thesoundingboard@sen.com.au, follow the show on Twitter @soundingboardep, and like the Facebook page. It's all thanks to DrinkWise. If you're choosing to have a drink, choose to DrinkWise.